Got your Bible this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to begin your study this morning in verse 14. I got it on, but it ain't up. You getting me there? That's what it matters if we're getting there. Jesus has just come back from his days of temptation where Satan tries to trick him up and cause him to do something that would make him not be worthy of being the Savior of the world. But he yielded nothing to Satan and everything to his Heavenly Father. And finally, the devil ended all of his temptations and departed from him. But the scripture says he departed from him for a season. You know, he didn't depart from him for good. If we could resist the devil and it be once and for all and never have to be worried with him again, but all he does is, as Jerry Clower says, he just goes and remounts and reloads and comes again to try to destroy our relationship with our God that loves us. But it's time now that Jesus is going to begin his ministries, and he's going to start doing what the Lord has sent him to do and his heart and his life. And I want to speak to you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, may 2026 be a year of jubilation for you, a year of the Jubilee. And their hearts and lives, and we'll discuss a little bit about that in just a moment. But here, the scripture says in verse 14 that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. When Jesus had come back, you know, he'd been in various places. The Lord had told Joseph to take the child and then go down into Egypt, and they come back out of Egypt, and they roamed around a while. And now he's putting down his roots again, and he's establishing himself to begin his ministry here in the land of Galilee down there. The scripture says that he returned in the power of the Spirit. Oh, I think it's an awesome thing for us to be able to know the power of the Spirit of God and him moving in our hearts and our lives and motivating us. And if I had a prayer for 2026 for every one of us, that prayer would be that we would be filled with the Spirit of the power of the Lord in our lives. And as we reach out into the lives of our family and our workforce, our school, and wherever we might find ourselves in 2026, that we would find ourselves being faithful to serve the Lord and do what he would have us to do in our hearts and our lives. It says they went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. I want you to remember that, because we're going to get down here in a few minutes and I'm going to refer back to it. But what the scripture was saying was, they had heard all the great things that Jesus had been able to accomplish. How, whatever those miracles was, I didn't go back and get any kind of chronological order or those things, but whether it was the marriage at Cana, where he turned the water into wine, whether it was healing Peter's mother-in-law, or right on down the line, they had heard. Now, these people come, a lot of them are Greek, a lot of them are Hebrews, a lot of them are Gentile, and many, many, many of them are Jews in their lives. As they come from all these nationalities, I'd love to be able to report to you that they came to Jesus to hear what needed to be done in their hearts and their lives to be saved. But the scripture teaches us they came to see the miracles that Jesus had done. Now, I would have been amazed to watch him turn water into wine, wouldn't you? do all of the other miracles that he did and things. People bring their sick folks, you know, he healed them. I'd love to have been in Sunday worship that Sunday when they took back the roof and those men lay the one sick at the feet of Jesus and see him as he ministered to them. The scripture says here, there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And they were praising and worshiping according as he had taught them here. But hold on to that thought as well. We'll see something in a minute. He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. He goes back to his hometown, where he was raised. And the scripture says that as his custom was, wherever he found himself on Sunday morning, he made himself a part of the worship time in that synagogue, wherever he may be, that church, and in that home or whatever. The Jews could take 10 families and a priest and form a synagogue, a place of worship is what it was. And when Jesus was in these places on his way back to Galilee, and he came down through Hurley and Wade and Barton and Basin and Central and right on to Bexley, wherever he found himself on Sunday morning, that's where he would go in and he would teach in the synagogue, and they were all glorified by all of this. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. The priest or whoever was in charge at the synagogues, when a visitor would come in, they would open up the pulpit for him to speak and teach. And the scripture says that he went into the synagogue and he stood up for to read. There was lifted or delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. See, they already had the scripture chosen for him to read that morning. Scripture doesn't allow us, but I want to think in my mind that perhaps they didn't know he was coming that Sunday. And this was just a selection of the reading of the law of Old Testament that they had chosen for that particular service. And when Jesus came in, the scribe or the one in charge of the scroll brought it to Jesus, unwound it down to the place where it was at, and he began to read. And here's what the scripture says in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The scripture that Isaiah recorded here goes all the way back to Levitical law, where when Moses was informing the children of Israel as to the do's and don'ts of the promised land and the things that was going to be faced to them in their hearts and their lives, God set aside two things. One was the 7 years of rest for the land. Those that were tending the land, whatever their oats, their barley, their wheat, their whatever, the seventh year of 7 year growing cycle was to be laid aside to rest for a year. We see that a lot in the rotation of our farmers today, as they may have beans and then wheat and then something else and something else and something else, as they rotate around and give the land a rest from year after year after year after the same thing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And identifying with that, you know, who would we be without the Holy Spirit? We're a child of God. The Holy Spirit lives where? In our hearts and lives, doesn't it? Right here. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me. And if you looked at that word anointed there, he has chosen me to preach the gospel to the poor. Then he gets to the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee came along every 50th year. In Levitical law, it says that 7 times 7 are 49 years, and then a year to fulfill the Jubilee are the 50 years of Jubilee. And it was determined here in that 50 years that anyone who found themselves a slave to an individual was set free. Anyone who had a debt he couldn't pay, he was set free. Anyone that had a crop that he shared, it was done away. Everything, he was freed from all the things in their hearts and their lives. And when I thought about that, I thought about, man, wouldn't it be wonderful to know today that you and I, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, that our troubles and our trials and our afflictions and stuff could be done away with rather than to keep plaguing us in our hearts and our lives. Cancer, you gone. Heart trouble, bye. You know, death, where's your sting? All the things that we deal with in our hearts and our lives, all the problems that we have, we wouldn't see the things that we see today. He said, he hath promised me that he would not call on me to do anything that he would equip me for. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Year of Jubilee. And all those slaves were turned loose, set free. All those debts were canceled. All that property that was returned to their original owner. The scripture says, not only did he preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We've had some tough things in the past days of our church, 2025, that we'd rather not carry into 2026. Been enough brokenhearted and stuff. But who heals? God does, doesn't he? In our lives. It's a whole lot easier if we'd run to Jesus than it is to run and let Satan destroy us. Preach deliverance to the captives. All those, see, they, some of them still hurt from the fact that they was drug off as a young child into Babylonian captivity and what happened to their families. And they don't know where their moms and dads are at. They don't know where their whoever's or whatever's. They're brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captives. The jails and stuff. You know, I seen a statistic the other day. And don't have all the figures that maybe I ought to have. But do you know that a handful of men and pastors across this state that have gone into the correctional institutions of the state of Mississippi, whether it be Loosedale or Wiggins or over here at Leakesville, right on to more men were saved and baptized in prison than every Baptist church in Mississippi. A little handful of people willing to preach deliverance to the captives were able to win. Didn't get baptized in a baptismal pool like that. They were baptized in a cow trough out in the parking lot. Saved to the uttermost. Studying now the scriptures and going through different things to strengthen them in their walk. Church, where are we missing the mark? They're willing to go in and preach the gospel, take their time at night to share them with these men and stuff. And they're coming to know the Lord. And what happens? The last thing he's talked about here was for recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Them that are bruised, hurt, that are whatever. You know, whenever Satan gets the upper hand, he admitted to the Lord himself. You remember when the Lord asked you, what are you doing? He said, I'm to and fro, up and down the face of the earth, seeking whom I may what?
Devour.
His desire is to what? Destroy you. God's desire is to do what? Live you forever. All right? And the last thing he told them was to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. 2026. Church ought to be the best year that Bexley Baptist Church has ever seen. Because we strive to do the will of the Father, what he would have us to do. He's been so good to us. He's blessed us in so many ways. But to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm a firm believer where there's breath, there's hope, as long as individuals will look to the Lord for their strength, the answer to their problems. Satan's going to do what? He's going to crawl up on your shoulder and tell you what? If God that you serve really loved you, you wouldn't. He's trying to do what? Devour you. You know? Father, grandfather, husband, walk by and say to his wife, I've been a failure to my family. Pick up the gun off the porch when he goes out in the yard and blows his head off. Who won? Satan did he? That didn't just happen overnight. He didn't just catch him in a weak moment. He'd been working that, telling that man, you're a failure. Be careful who you listen to. Don't entertain him when he shows up. What does Scripture tell us to do? Resist the devil and he'll do what?
Flee
from you. All right, the Scripture says that Jesus closed that book, that scroll up. He closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This year of the Jubilee, this year where all debts is canceled, all slaves are free, all property is returned to its owner and stuff. You know, I'd venture to say that every one of us could use a good day of jubilation in our hearts and our lives where we could get through with get rid of some things that's plaguing us in our hearts and our lives, keeping us from being the Christians and serving the Lord in the manner that he wants us to do in our hearts and our lives. Ill will to our brother. You know, trouble with this, fault with that, desires here. Listen what they did here. In verse 22, he said, they all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said, is this not Joseph's son? They were amazed. They watched in wonder at the gracious words that he preached them at that time. But at the same time, what did they think? Can this be? That's that little snotty-nosed boy that run around barefooted. You know? That's Joseph's boy.
If y'all don't know it, he's an illegitimate child.
You know? But Jesus knows what? Everything they say, I know. Listen what he tells them. Verse 23, he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physicians, heal thyselves. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. He come back home. Come back to his old stomping ground. Come back to the kids that he grew up with and stuff. Began to read and teach them in the synagogue. And they said, how can this be? I remember him. You know, I run into folks sometimes, even today, that'll go all the way back to my teen years and say, I remember when you did so-and-so. But you know what I've learned to do in that? Instead of letting them get under my skin, instead of letting them make me mad, I said, yeah, that's the old Larry. Let me tell you about the new one, you know. Share with them what the Lord has done in the heart of my life. No prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Isaiah, when the heavens were shut up 3 and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all of the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, except Sarepta, city of Sidon, to a woman that was a widow. 3.5 years, there was famine in the land. It didn't rain, no crops. First year, serious. Second year, getting in panic mode. Third year, starvation. That last half a year, God told Elias, you go down to the brook Sarepta, you stay there, you drink of the brook, and I've ordered the birds of the air to bring you meat and bread in the morning, meat and bread in the evening. And he did that for days until the brook dried up. Then he told him to go down to Zarephath. And there I've instructed a woman to care for you. He made his trip to Zarephath, and he found a little old widow woman out in the yard, picking up a few sticks and stuff, gathering up these sticks. And he calls out to her and asks her for a cup of water. She's looking at him now. What's a Jew doing asking me? But she goes to get the water. And he cries out again. He said, would you make me a little parcel of bread? Just a little biscuit. That's all I need. Hungry. She said, sir, I'm gathering up these sticks. I'm going to go in and I'm going to take what little bit of flour is in the bottom of that barrel, what little bit of oil is in that jar, and I'm going to fix for me and my son. And we're going to eat, and then we're going to die. She didn't know where her next meal was going to come from. But God told Elias, say to her, do as the Lord has commanded you to do, and your barrel will never run dry, your oil will never diminish. She did, and he and she and her son, they lived these last 6 months of that 3.5 year drought. Not in luxury. They just had what they needed. Talk about somebody scratching the bottom of the barrel. We all may face some hard times. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us, but we know who holds tomorrow, don't we? In our hearts and our lives. I'll quickly try to finish this up. The scripture says that many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias. None of them were cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. And all they in the synagogues, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Made them mad. All he gonna do is preach. He ain't gonna perform one of his magic tricks for us. He ain't gonna be a magician. They rose up and thrust him out of the city. They led our Savior to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down head first down that hill. But I like what happened next. But he, passing through the midst of them, went on his way. But he, passing through their midst, and then went on his way. Don't you know, where'd he go? What happened? We didn't throw him down. He's gone. You know, the thing we need to carry home with us into 2026 is we don't need to miss an opportunity to make things right with us in our hearts and our lives with our Lord. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know he holds tomorrow. You and God are a what? You and God can do what? You believe that? Why do you try to go it alone? Why do you try to handle it your way? All of our troubles, all of our trials for them folks, all of their slavery, all of their things that they was going through, you know, their financial difficulties, they'd had to sell their land to the bank or whoever, all those problems, you know. I tell you, and I'm honest when I make this statement, I don't see how some people go through the things they go through without having the Lord to help them. Without him, it's tough. I wonder. I'd rather go into 2026 in a right relationship with the Lord and face whatever I have to face in 2026 because I have him by my side. He's right here. And he's going to go through it with me. Then I had to try to face what tomorrow holds without him in my heart, my life. Let's pray. Ernie's going to come and he'll prepare us for just a moment of invitation. Is there anything in your heart that you could let this be the year of jubilation for? That you could forgive this, turn loose of that, quit questioning this, quit being mad at that one, quit doing whatever it is. Just go into 2026 saying, Lord, it's me and you and we're a majority and we can do anything. Here am I, use me in this new year. Whatever God may be saying to you this morning, maybe it's just a time this morning where you can clean up some old debt that's hounded you for years and years and years by confessing to God what he would have you to do in your life. Whatever he says, be willing to do. What are we going to sing, brethren?
294, Have Thine Own Way.
We stand together. Sing a verse of invitation. These altars are open. Maybe you want to come pray. You'd like Brother Larry to pray with you. Let's get rid of some stuff. Let's don't drag it into 2026. It's between you and the Lord. You pray and you ask him to help you.